I want to welcome everyone to our Keeping on Track open line. At Lighthouse, we're celebrating 24 years in business and just entering our 11th year of doing open line. We have a few new exciting changes. First, we have our new open line format that comes with the launching of our new website. It's a very cool website if you haven't taken a look at it recently. You can also find an archive of past topics on the publication event tab. Our third book, Cracking the High Performance Team Code, is now available on Amazon, or also you can get it on our homepage. And we also offer skills testing, which is new to us this year, and it's been a huge hit with our clients. So beyond doing just the in-depth personality assessment, we also offer skills testing now, too. Our topic today is the power of focus. My name is Dana Barocca. I'm the CEO of Lighthouse Consulting Services. I'll be hosting our program today. We have a few housekeeping items, and we're going to jump right into our topic. For those of you joining us for the very first time at Lighthouse, everything we do goes back to our mission statement, bringing effective insight to your organization. We do this through our in-depth work style and personality assessments to raise the hiring bar and assist companies with a variety of services, including interpersonal coaching, skills testing, team building, stress management workshops, and much more. We also have an office in Taiwan and in the UK. So if you have an operation in Asia or in Europe and would like to get leadership coaching for them or providing ideas of how to best interact with a U.S. company, please let us know. Our Keeping on Track Open Line series is a response to a number of the calls that we get from many of our clients, both domestically and globally, to address the various issues that organizations are facing today. Our goal is to make this an interactive program, so on your screen, you'll see an area you can send questions or ideas during our discussion, and we'll attempt to respond to as many of you as possible. So please join us with your thoughts and insights along the way. At the conclusion of our program, we're going to open up the line so you can talk directly with our guests. So write down two or three questions to either send during the program or ask when we open up the line. I feel very privileged to have a longtime personal friend of mine and business mentor and just a wonderful human being is Paul David Walker. He's the CEO and founder of Genius Stone Partners and will be our guest today. He works with domestic and international companies to improve their bottom line today and for planning for the future. Paul is one of the few CEO coaches who has actually worked with numerous Fortune 500 CEOs and their key staff members for well over 25 years, along with working with many mid-cap companies. Some of the organizations that Paul has worked with include Starkist Foods, Vons Grocery Stores, New York Life, Anne Klein, Rockwell International, countless manufacturing, global utilities, service, and consulting organizations. Paul is the author of the best-selling book, Unleashing Genius, and his new book, Invent Your Future, Seven Imperatives for a 21st Century. I feel so privileged to have Paul with us today to share ideas that will help each of us in preparing for the future and for dealing with today's business issues. Also, registration for our next program will begin at the end of today's program. The topic is, do you have a zombie-like culture? Five steps on where to begin the change. Paul, welcome back to Open Line. We're so grateful to have you with us today.
Thank you, Dana. Thank you for that lovely introduction. I sure appreciate it.
You're welcome.
You know, we're talking about the power of focus in a time when multitasking gets a lot of credit. So let me explain the difference and why focus is so important, you know, to build a growing company and to deal with the changes that happen due to, you know, economic change, okay? So first slide, dealing with complexity. Boy, is it complex running a business today. You know, you have technological unemployment coming forward, and that is because technology is going to replace a lot of employees. AI, all these things are creating a shift in the skills employees are going to need to have and the skills that you're going to have to integrate into your company. We have changing social trends that are creating complexity. These trends are permanent. You know, we got the Me Too movement. We got all the different ways you have to deal with employees, like millennials who have a whole different cut on things. And then we have shifting global requirements. I mean, with some of the things, the tariffs, the other things that are happening globally, it gets very tricky. Well, how do you do it? You've got to have focus, right? One, you've got to focus on mitigating the dangers that are the result of all this change, the dangers and the opportunities, because there are a lot of dangers. There are a lot of opportunities as well. We do have a growing economy, and we want to be able to take advantage of that without creating long-term problems. And so the whole notion of mitigating the upcoming danger without getting overwhelmed by it is really important to focus on to begin with. You know, where could we get in trouble? What problems could we run into? Now, keeping that in mind, you have to find your sweet spot as a company, right? What do you and your team naturally do best? Where are you positioned in the world, in the marketplace, that is your sweet spot? I'm working with a company right now that does uniforms for hospitals, and their sweet spot is quality. Their uniforms are really cool. You could almost wear them anywhere. And so that's their sweet spot. You don't want to drift too far away from that and start making scrubs. You know, the ugly scrubs that you see around theirs are great. Also, once you have your sweet spot, it's so important to look at high return strategies. What efforts will get you the most return? In the meeting I'm in today with one of my clients, that's what they focus on. They call it high leverage items, and they have teams for each of these strategies. And they're cross-functional, multi-level teams focusing on high return strategies. They call them high leverage strategies in this case. But that's where the focus comes in. You got lots going on, changing society, global danger. You find your sweet spot, and then you build your strategies around those sweet spots and drive it with cross-functional teams who, you know, have the content knowledge and have the cultural knowledge needed to do that. So important. If you're just doing everything, you're going to be wasting a lot of time and coming to a lot of dead ends. So figuring out what the high return strategies are for you in the flow of the global economy is critical. Even if you're a small company and you think you're not global, well, we're just local, you're going to be global if you want to grow. Why is focus important? In a number of ways. I mean, I just mentioned one in terms of strategy, right? Because if you're not focused on your sweet spot of things you do well, your strategies are going to fail. You're going to have a lot of false starts. But more, people are overwhelmed. There's so much going on. Every company I work with, people are just at the limit in order to drive the company forward. And this is a balance. You don't want to have too many people. You don't want to have too less. So the company I'm working with right now is growing pretty rapidly. So this year, they're hiring really high-quality people, which is putting their overhead up, okay? But without the right people, everyone will be overwhelmed. In fact, as they're bringing in the best people, the level of overwhelm is going down because they say, oh, we just hired a new supply chain guy. He knows the business. He's a fourth-generation Garmento. It's a garment company. So people are going, oh, great. I see. Now, focus. Bullet point two, everybody in the company sees the world differently. Everybody has a different take on everything. So as a leader, you have got to focus what is the reality and what is the focus people need to put their skills towards. You don't want a lot of different realities in terms of the way you're executing, in terms of the way you're dealing with the marketplace. the leadership, the executive team has to really not only tell people what the realities are to focus on, but inspire them that if we do these things, out of all the choices that they have, we will succeed. We will build a great company. We'll win. Because there are a lot of choices. A lot of choices strategically, or a lot of choices in terms of what any employee does from day to day, or what a senior leader does from day to day. As a CEO, as a leader of the company, you've got to manage those choices and get people focused on the high return activities that you know will lead to success strategically. So knowing what's important, not only strategically, but in terms of how you communicate to your people, how you make them feel like they're part of something special, and how you sort through those many choices that they have, both personally and strategically. And what I got to say about this is, over the years, 25 years ago, they did a study on cognitive retention. And what they found, and this is Europe and North America, not third world countries, is 85% of people can only hold a mildly complex cognitive framework for 2 weeks. 85%. 10% can hold it indefinitely, and 5% can hold it and do what-ifs with it. As leaders, focus and repeating the focus over and over again is critical, because people, it's going to leave their heads, and if you don't keep reinforcing it and focusing them on what's important, they're going to drift off and start dealing with those many choices that are in front of them day to day, and they'll make the wrong choices if you don't keep repeating it. I know when we interviewed Jack Welch for one of our books, he came late, right? And this was at the time when GE was the most profitable company in the world. And he was late for our meeting. Of course, we didn't leave because Jack Welch was late. We wanted him in our book. So we waited and waited. He came in about 45 minutes late, and he said, "Geez, guys, I'm sorry. I apologize. I had to go into the bathroom and throw up." And he says, "Oh, Jack, are you sick?" He goes, "No, I'm just sick of saying this three things over and over again. I'm sick of myself, but I know if I don't say those and repeat those key initiatives, those key focuses over and over again, people will forget them and the company will get off track." So, so important in the complexity that we face today and all the choices we have and how people see the world differently, to have people focus on what's important for the growth of your company, the growth of your team, and so on. How do you determine focus?
Hey, Paul, a question just came in. But can you go back to the last slide for a minute?
Sure. Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. Each person sees different realities. So the question is, how do you get everybody on the same page?
Yeah. Well, you've got me down in today. Every time someone talks about a strategic initiative or a team of people that are working on the strategic initiative, you're talking about the outcome that's liable to occur and the benefit not only to the company but to each of the individuals on that team, each of the people who are driving that focus. And you've got to acknowledge people. I mean, I'm just sitting here this morning, they went over their key levers and you know, it must have been, 18 of them. And someone's in charge of each one. Every time they presented it, round of applause. Thanks from the CEO. You've got to have people, when they do the right thing, you know, catch them doing something approximately right. If they're doing things right, then you acknowledge them in various ways. That'll keep them focused, and that'll break through their own personal realities. That's why your compelling reality that you create has to be so compelling that people put aside their own views. And you have to persuade them, bottom line. You can't just say this is our focus. You have to say why what and how are we going to do it, and how will that benefit you as a leader?
Why, what, and how? Everyone should write that down. The why, what, and the how.
Right. The why creates sustainability. They go, okay, that's not my reality, but I get it, right? What do we have to do in terms of the focus? Okay, these are things. Now, this is important. How? You assume people know how. Generally, they're going to say, okay, yes, boss, yes. Ask them, how are you going to do that? Tell me about how you're going to do that, how I can help. Then you know if they really can do it or not. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, you know, that's so important. So important.
Okay.
Is that good?
Well, thank you. No, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you for submitting the question. We appreciate that.
Yeah. Again, how do you determine what to focus on? Well, first of all, you got to include all your stakeholders. And, of course, your customers are number one, your vendors are number two, and your employees are number three. And there's no sequence, but you know who the stakeholders are. If you're a public company or you have private equity investors, they are stakeholders. So it's really important as you develop your strategies, as you think about what to focus on, that you listen to these stakeholders. You don't necessarily have to agree with them. The first wave, you don't argue with them, but you listen. You listen. You listen. And there's a pattern that emerges. Every time I've done this, talk to all the stakeholders, this is the situation in the company. This is what we want to achieve. What do we need to do to get there? And the answers will come to the surface if you talk to all the stakeholders, and it's a combination of your stakeholders, because those are the people who matter. Your stakeholders matter. Their insights matter. Whether you follow their insights or not, if they feel they've been included in determining the focus of your company, for focus of your strategy, the focus of your culture. Let's not forget culture. I have a number of growth clients, and some are in early stages of developing their culture. They're having a hard time attracting people, right? And that's other clients who are well along, have a great culture. They don't have any trouble hiring key executives because they want to be part of a winning team. These are the people who matter. You got to get your people in the company, your vendors, your customers, and your potential hires in on the focus, in on the culture. I want to be part of this. Just got to keep repeating it because it's easy for a company to get scattered. And once you get scattered, your energies are broken down. Now, you might say, well, there's a lot of things going on. I just told you that they had 18 key leverage points. That's how they focus. They're dealing with all the dynamics. They have a team and a leader for each of the dynamics, but that team and leader is focused clearly on this part of the dynamic and how it ties into the other dynamics of the other key leverage points. So it always rolls up into EBITDA, rolls up into growth of sales. And, you know, when you're doing all that, when you're listening, when you're talking, when you're setting people up to win, you got to know who matters. Some people don't, and some people do. And you need to know who that is. That goes true for the customers. Who matters at your customers? Who matters at your vendors? Who matters internally to execute? All of that is important. They are all stakeholders, and once you determine that, then you put the focus on them and their thoughts going forward. Implementing focus. Okay. This one will take a little longer, right? Again, I talked about an inspiring purpose. So what is the purpose of a company? Some companies give to charity, some like the one I'm working with right now feeds children in Haiti. So they have a group called the Nightingale Organization. They work with nurses and doctors, so hence the name. But they spend a lot of time building part of their purpose. You know, their vision statement is love what you wear. and what you wear matters. And of course, doctors and hospitals, emergency rooms, what they wear does matter in terms of a number of things. So you have to inspire this purpose, not only the purpose of making it matter, making their clients love what they wear, but, you know, we give part of our profits to help starving children in Haiti and in other places. So you, by working with us, are part of a purpose, something that's important. Now, that's the outside world. But in terms of your inside stakeholders, you know, the purpose of a company is to feed and provide opportunity for the stakeholders, particularly the people in the company, right? The purpose is woven into the strategy where people feel like they're making a difference in the world. People feel like they're making a difference in their lives, right? So if you look at a company and you say, you know what, as a leadership team, we want people to feel like they're part of something greater than themselves, is one of the key. If you said, what are the three drivers of human behavior that go back to, you know, hundreds if not thousands of years from when we lived in tribe? One is being part of a tribe, a group, right? So part of the purpose of a company is you're part of this group. You're part of this tribe, right? You're a family member, whatever you want to call it. That's the purpose, to get people to be part of something. And a company is, in fact, a tribe that has a purpose. A big part of the purpose, besides growing a company, is to provide a good living and a good day every time they come in. You know, your participation in the company should be one of the most inspiring and most best places, second to your family, you deal with it in some cases. It's even better than your family if you do it right, right? So if you can communicate that what you're doing here to build this company is not just for profit for the stakeholders, not just for profit for the owners, but to create a place where people really feel good, where they long to come into work, like the company I'm working with right now, everybody hugs everybody, right? I mean, it's just part of the culture. One of their values is love, for God's sakes. And this is a, you know, driven company, but love, communication, collaboration, accountability. You're part of a group of people who care for one another and are building something they can be proud of. One of the stories I told them is when we built our consulting firm years ago, I was with them for 20 years, and we went from 5 of us to 120 consultants. We went from being someone who aligned strategy, structure, and culture. And I had to explain what the hell culture was at that time in 83. What do you mean by culture? We built that firm, and I remember the moment talking about purpose and focus. We had a record year. We took everybody, including their families, to Hawaii for 5 days, celebration planning for next year. And the owner and I got there late because we were closing a deal in New York. We arrived late. We didn't have to ask. We didn't have to ask the concierge where our room was. We could hear them. The music was playing. You could hear people laughing. And when we walked in and opened the doors to go into the room, it was the energy, the inspiration just filled the room. And Larry and I turned to each other and said, see what you've created. Creating something like this, a company that people love to work for, a company that is successful, a company that your customers love working with you, right? A company that the vendors want to work with you. This is what you need to focus on. Now, of course, you have to measure outcomes. And there's a new book that has come out called measure what matters. Now, what do they mean by measuring what matters? Well, we all measure EBITDA. We all measure profit and loss. We all measure sales growth, market share growth. But these things are the things that happen by doing the right things. If that's all you're measuring, that is not driving your purpose. You have to measure what matters to market growth, what matters to, you know, increasing profit, what matters. So what are the things that matter, let's say, in growing your market? From company to company, it's different, but just using this company as an example, what matters to their customers is fulfillment, on-time fulfillment. What matters to their companies that they deal with is they feel confident that they've got a group of experts that will advise them on their brand and how their uniforms reflect their brand. That matters. You measure how your customers are responding to those kinds of things, then you know your EBITDA, your sales, and your market share is going to go up. Let's take inventory turns. What matters in inventory turns? You want as many turns as possible without affecting fulfillment. But those two measures, fulfillment and inventory turns, this is a rearview mirror thing. That's the goal, right? And sure, you measure it because the stockholders and the stakeholders and the owners want to measure that. But what leads to those kinds of turns? Now, in any company, your inventory is based on how many SKUs you have, how many clients you have, how many colors you have, and so on. So communication between operations and sales and design is what matters. That's what leads to more inventory turns. That's what leads to more sales and growth. It's different from company to company, but it's not the final outcomes. It is the things that drive the final outcomes that matter. And you need to find ways to measure those things. In a retail company, one of the things that matters is returns. You know, how many returns are you getting for what reasons? And for what reasons is what you need to measure. Yes, you're getting X amount of returns a month, but why? Why are they coming in? It's important to measure that because there may be an answer there to reduce the returns. Again, back to why, what, how. So you have to look at your company to decide what matters. Generally, of course, you want to increase profit, EBITDA, market share, but you need to decide what matters that gets those outcomes, what matters that attracts the best people. You know, it's like just as simple as, if I have some clients in the restaurant business, what matters is when you walk in the restaurant, the receptionist greets you with a smile, thanks you for coming, and guides you to a table. What matters in a restaurant, you all go to restaurants, is, yeah, the food better be good, better taste good, but are you getting both service, meaning your food comes out on time as planned, and hospitality? Do you feel like you're part of something greater than yourself? Going back to these three primal, want to be part of something, a tribe, want to be right. That's one I didn't mention. People want to be right, right? So if you're always making your people wrong, it's going to affect their enthusiasm. It's going to affect the level of their commitment. So the biggest fear when we lived in tribes is banishment, right? So if you were banished, you would die a slow and painful death. Couldn't live in the wilderness without your team. And then lastly, something greater than yourself. And the whole focus on something greater than yourself, it's, you know, really good sports teams, their goal is to win the championship that year, right? Their goal is to win the World Series. They're not going in there. Their goal is not to play. They're not to get along, not to have a good year. Championship teams have a purpose that is greater than any individual. And using that, you can bring people together because they're naturally going to feel stronger, better, because they're part of something greater than themselves. And their efforts are needed to get there. And they know what matters. And as we go back, you know, interviewing stakeholders, you're trying to find out what matters. So you're in charge of marketing. How are we going to bring more customers in? What matters to customers? One of my marketing directors that I'm coaching is a master of putting colors together that draw people in. Because they know what matters to most people is some kind of emotional connection with their garments, with the products they are putting out. So how do you embed that in your marketing data so that they go, ah, wow, that feels good. I like that. I want to wear those clothes. I want to be part of this. That's what's going to create a strong purpose in everybody, because at the end of the year, when you've had a big success, celebrate. Celebrate. You've had a huge success. And now everyone gets rewarded emotionally. And, well, you know, of course, you need a bonus system so people get rewarded for what they do. But believe it or not, that emotional reward, you're a part of this team. We've done something greater than ourselves. And you have done things right. Not perfect, but everyone has put in the effort. Everyone has been committed to our purpose as a company, to growing the company. That's where you need to focus. You focus on that, all the details will take care of themselves.
That's great. Thank you.
Sure. Questions? Thoughts?
Nope. Good so far.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, another thing about focus, like in the meeting we're having today, while people are talking, the computers get closed, right? Multitasking isn't really effective. It's just not. It breaks up your mental problems. It breaks up your thought processes. Confuses people. It scatters energy. You know, it's fine if you're at a cocktail party. But if you're running a business and you've got challenges ahead of yourself, you need to focus on what matters, and you need to measure what matters. If you don't do that, you know, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to be working hard and not getting outcomes. So those outcomes are a purpose. If you make this sales outcome, that purpose will benefit everybody in the company, including the stockholders, stakeholders, the ownership. So it's all a focus on purpose, on culture, and on measuring what matters. That's what's going to drive your business to new heights. And I don't know what else that I would say about it.
Okay. Any more slides for today?
Let's see. I think that's the last slide. Yeah, that's the last slide. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that was great. Actually, a question did just come in. What if some people say, well, why are you spending money on this party? Why not just distribute the money, because we could all use money?
Well, sure, they're going to say that. But people want acknowledgement. People want to be acknowledged for what they do. Give you an example. So when we build our consulting firm, every year at the end of the year, we bring all the consultants in from around the world, have a meeting planning next year. But the first day was success stories. We would have our people tell success stories about their clients. Okay, this is what we did. And we structured those success stories in a way that uncovered the successful strategy. So it wasn't just bragging, right? I mean, there was a narrative, there was a story that went with it, you know, beginning, middle, and end. Here's what the problem was we faced with a customer. Here's what we did, and here's what the outcome was. Now, I've got to tell you, we paid our people well. They got bonuses and stuff. But I swear they worked harder to be part of those success stories than they did for the money. They wanted to be recognized. It started out as like 4 hours in the morning, ended up a full day. And then, over time, people said, can we bring our customers and have them share our success together, our success working together? And so then we ended up having customers and our consultants sharing their success. Now, it's not a waste of a day. You would think, just give us the money. I'm telling you, me personally and everyone in the company valued that more. You still have to pay them. I'm not saying you can't give out your bonuses. But that acknowledgement, that feeling that I'm part of the group, part of the tribe, I've done some great things, and I'm part of something greater than myself. If you keep reinforcing that, people are not going to leave. A lot of our clients' biggest problem is turnover. Nobody ever leaves because they love living and working there. And, of course, when you grow, sometimes you need to bring in different people. But that's a nice problem to have.
Okay. Thank you.
It is. It's just really important to people. You know?
Yeah, that's a good point.
And anyone who says it's not is just kidding themselves.
Yeah. And well, we're going to open up our line in just a minute so you can ask Paul directly any questions that you might have. But I want to close this segment down first. So I want to thank Paul for being part of our program today and also remind everybody on November 15th is our next open line. It will be, do you have a zombie-like culture? 5 steps on where to begin to change.
That'll be good.
Yeah, it's a great topic. In the next couple of days, we'll send out the recording and PowerPoint of today's program so you can share it with others within your organization. Again, I want to thank Paul so much for being part of the program. I'm going to ask everybody that's on the line today, we have a lot of people, to please put your phone on mute. Please do not put your phone on hold, okay? Don't put your phone on hold because we'll all get to listen to music that we don't – it will not make it a pleasant experience for opening up the line. Okay, so we're going to open up the line in just 1 second here. Let me close the recording down, and then we'll be right back so you can talk directly with Paul. Hold 1 second.